My name is Robin Wittenstein. I'm the CEO here at Denver Health. And this is the first in the series that we're doing called the Springboard Series. And it's really focused on helping to bring out to interested members of the community, key business leaders, community organizations, philanthropists, some of the work that Denver Health is doing around our role as an anchor institution. And frankly, it's because we have made such a commitment to really working on and making a difference in changing the world around us. And we're excited about this. And we know that we need friends and partners in the work that we're doing. And I'll go through a little bit of what we're doing and then introduce the other panelists who can bring their expertise to the table and help us explore what it means to be an anchor institution. And most importantly, what it means to be part of a collaborative group of organizations that have all made the same commitment to the sort of improvements in the world around us that we see. So Denver Health started on our anchor institution journey probably in 1860 when we were first established. So we've been here for a long time. And of course, Denver Health provides exceptional quality medical care, both physical and behavioral health, to the people who live in Denver, live, work, and play in Denver. As many of you know, you're familiar with Denver Health. The patient population that we primarily serve tends to be a vulnerable patient population, people who live in poverty, people who are un or underinsured. A large percentage of our patient population are people of color. It's really the segment of our society that oftentimes is most in need of help. And not just the medical care that we provide, but a range of social and economic issues. And Denver Health deals with that every day in the patients we see in our hospital, in our clinics, in the jail, and elsewhere. And we've always dealt with those issues. But over the last couple of years, we've really sat back and said, when we look at health and what drives health and well-being in our communities, of course what our providers do is important. But there is so much more that is equally important, if not more so. It's the issues around where people live, the jobs they have, the education they've been able to complete, the food that they have access to. And there's a whole realm of social and economic factors that are tremendously impactful on people's health and well-being, both individually and as a community, that we deal with, but we haven't been able to solve. And I believe, and our organization believes, these are solvable problems, but it will just take a different approach. So looking at it that way, we decided to adopt an anchor institution framework. And an anchor institution is a concept that is both simple and extremely complex. So the simple piece of it is that an anchor institution is an organization that is place-based. We're Denver Health. We're not moving to Detroit or to Palm Beach or anywhere else. We're here. That has a significant stake in and influence on the community around us. And that has the opportunity through the use of its resources to influence the economic health and well-being of the community that we serve. And certainly that is true for Denver Health. So the range of issues that we deal with as an anchor institution include patients who are unemployed, patients who have no housing, people who don't have access to food. The number of patients who come in who are food insecure is really quite astonishing. People who suffer from disproportionate levels of crime and violence, substance abuse, and mental health issues. And so as we looked at all of these sorts of factors that influence and impact the health and well-being of the people we serve, we decided that we were going to take a much more comprehensive view of health and address the issues that impact health and well-being. So we have now adopted an anchor institution mission. We look at our economic power as an opportunity to give people a hand up, not a handout, but a hand up, so that they can have the kind of life that they and their family want to have in order to support themselves and move forward. And that has been very intentionally adopted by the organization and by the board. And we're now at the stage where we are making choices about the kinds of investments we make in our community, in our clinical services, and in non-clinical services in order to carry out that mission. And I will tell you, the what's important to me and what I focus on a lot is, what does it mean to be an anchor institution? And most importantly, what is the end goal of what we're trying to achieve? Because in the long run, the question is this something we can do? Is it something that's sustainable? And what is the impact going to be on the communities we serve? And the truth is, the end goal of an anchor institution is wealth building in our community. It's helping people to move forward in being able to have the economic opportunity that they are looking for. So we've really adopted a systems approach to economic development. It's around an inclusive and sustainable change in how we hire, how we invest, and how we buy, and in addressing the social risk factors that cause problems and challenges for our employees, for our patients, and frankly, sometimes for our employees as well. So I'm just going to jump into the introduction of our panelists, but I will say the reason this is important and the reason that we want to talk to people about what we're trying to do is because this has to be a very deliberate and intentional strategy where we make different choices about what we do in the future than what we might have done in the past, as important as that has been, and that we're reaching out and asking for help. We're a large organization. Denver Health is a $1.2 billion organization. We are everywhere in Denver County. I've often said to people, you can't stand anywhere in Denver and throw a stone and not hit us. Some days it feels like that's what happens. But you know, we are not big enough to solve the problems of poverty by ourselves. We are not big enough to solve the problems of inequity by ourselves. And so we're looking for and have partners who are incredibly important to us. And what we're going to focus on today isn't so much Denver Health as it is on the concept of an anchor institution and what it means to and can mean to the communities that we serve. So in order to bring that to life, we've invited three people to join me and to really help discuss some of the concept and how this might play out. And I'd like to introduce them, and I'm sure that all three of them actually don't need any introduction at all, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm going to start with Trini Rodriguez. Trini is a managing director at DA Davidson & Company, but I'm sure that many of you know Trini from the many different roles that he's played in Denver, and in particular, as a driver of economic opportunity and improvement. He's been deeply involved in the mayor's economic recovery activities around how we get through COVID and then really begin to get our feet back under us and address some of the challenges that have come out of everything related to COVID. The economic impact of COVID on our community is going to be felt for a long time to come. And Trini has been absolutely vital in those conversations and helping to guide some of the plans around economic recovery. Ishmael Guerrero is currently the CEO of Mercy Housing, but I'm sure that all of you know him as the former executive director of the Denver Housing Authority, which is one of the most progressive housing authorities that I've ever had the pleasure to work with and has done remarkable work in the city, has been a great partner with Denver Health, and I am looking forward even at Mercy Housing to finding ways that we can partner together. And then finally, Jim Chavez, who is the executive director of the Latin American Educational Foundation, but he's also a member of the Denver Health and Hospital Authority Board of Directors, and he chairs our newly formed Community Engagement Committee. And that committee is specifically charged with oversighting how Denver Health is really going to bring its anchor institution mission to life and strategically address the kinds of issues and challenges that we have and make sure that we're headed in the right direction. So I'm thrilled to have the three of you participating because there's a lot more expertise amongst them than there is in what you will hear from me. So what I'd like to do, and we're going to try to go for about, I think, about 12:40 or so with conversation and discussion, and then open up for questions. But I think there's a chat button. You can type in questions, and what we'll do is as we go along, someone's monitoring it. We'll make sure we get to those questions as quickly as we can. But I'm going to start by really throwing out a question for all three of our panelists. And What I'd really like to hear is, you know, when you think about the concept of an anchor institution, can you talk about how bringing community organizations together, including organizations like Denver Health, really can help address the social and economic issues that we're talking about in terms of the risk factors that our patients face, or actually that the residents face, not the patients, but the importance of bringing organizations together to address this? And maybe, Ishmael, if you don't mind, I'll start with you. I think you're muted.
There we go.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, thank you, Robin.
You would think after 10 months of doing this, we'd all be experts at it, right?
I know for sure. Well, thank you for the invitation to be here with you all. Really, really appreciate it. And I have to acknowledge that a third of the Denver Housing Authority board is here with me as well. So great leadership there, both Jim and Trini, and I saw Bruce Alexander is on the call as well. So just got to, you know, definitely a big shout out to the leadership and the visionary work that we were doing at the Housing Authority, thanks to having the leadership that we did at the board level. So thank you to all three. I miss you all, but it's great to be participating with you here again. I think to get into the conversation, Robin, we think about an anchor institution, and then you think of addressing social determinants, right, of health outcomes, it really does get to be place-based strategies that we're talking about. And how do we address what is happening in the community? And certainly at the Housing Authority and work that we're doing in different parts of the country through Mercy Housing, it is about not just housing, you know, and how we're addressing, even though we're primarily affordable housing developers, but in so many ways, our work begins when a family moves into a unit. You know, that's really when the work starts. That's at the end of the work, even though it takes 2 to 3 years to get a new building built. And in order to impact quality of life and outcomes for that family, you know, we're looking at individual situations with the family, but we're also looking at what's happening in the neighborhood, you know, and what's available in their community. And having to have that healthy, complete community is, you know, what we're talking about here in terms of impacting social determinants, right? The things in their physical environment, their social economic situation, individual behaviors, options. And so the partnerships are important because there is no one individual organization that really can address all those different areas, right? From, you know, jobs and economic opportunities to housing to public infrastructure, right? Like healthcare options, childcare, public schools. So you need a collective impact approach where, you know, you have these other partners that bring their capacity, their expertise, you know, to the partnership, you know, the collective work of creating a healthy place for people to live, healthy places for people to have food access, job opportunities, good educational outcomes, and so forth. So, you know, so I think finding organizations that are either already have that capacity, you know, and expertise and can bring it into bear, or through, you know, the work that you did, like Denver Health does, creating and investing in that capacity building of local organizations, you know, and there's a lot of experiences and examples of that, that, you know, hospitals and hospital systems can do. I'll just close with this on this first question. I think, you know, when I think about an anchor institution, whether it's Denver Health or, you know, Denver Housing Authority or others, I think the things to remember for the leadership is that everything you do can be catalytic, right? Not just what you do, but how does what you do change the community and change the work that you're doing? But everything you do can be catalytic. Everything you do can have a public benefit.
I think you froze.
Did I freeze? Or can you guys hear me? Okay. And then the last thing was just that nothing you do should be single purpose. You know, that everything you do can have multiple purposes and multiple outcomes and can have leverage that way. So I'll stop with that to give my other partners here a chance to chime in as well. And Robin, I don't see Robin's image, so I don't know if Jim or Trini want to jump in to continue the conversation.
Go ahead, Trini.
I think we're having technical difficulties.
I can, Trini, I can step in for a few minutes here if you can all hear me okay, Robin?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Yeah, hi, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Chavez with the Latin American Education Foundation and a board member of Denver Health. You know, just adding on to what Ishmael said there a little bit, Robin, you asked about how we can do this with partners or how and why we need partners. I really like to capitalize on the last part of what Ishmael said. And it's really to me, it's the doing beyond Denver Health just saying we agree with something, or beyond just saying, oh, we understand a problem. It only matters if we actually do something and make, you know, to have some tangible efforts to improve people's quality of life and then ultimately their health outcomes. And I think that can only be really done if we get other partners to see us, you know, Denver Health actually doing something beyond just stating something or adopting a policy. Other partners need to see us actually doing things and making progress and using our influence and making our investments in different ways. And then because of that, other partners, we can capitalize by using their leveraging their influence and their investments. So I think when you add on the partners, you really start to magnify what we can actually do. Because as Ishmael said and as Robin said, none of us, with our best efforts, none of us individually can make the impact we want to make. Well, sure, it'll make a little bit of impact, but it can only really be meaningful, in my mind, meaningful and substantive when we start adding on partners and just compounding the impact and the results of our actions. And so partners are just an absolute critical factor so we can make the impact and the expansiveness of our ability to change people's lives.
I agree, although I guess one of the follow-up questions I would have is when we talk about individuals being organizations coming together to have an impact like this, it always sounds great, and I agree none of us can do this on our own, but you know, what are the disadvantages, or and I think Trini may be having some difficulty with his microphone.
I think I'm back, but tee up your question and I can chime in whenever.
So the question is, you know, having conversations with folks about the concept of an anchor institution, everybody, and myself included, always say, you know, coming together, leveraging each other makes a lot of sense and you have a lot more power. But like anything else, there's never only a good side. So one of the questions is, when you think about what we're trying to achieve as an anchor, as an anchor framework for the entire community, not just Denver Health, what are the ways that we should think about collaboration and partnership that can help to offset some of the disadvantages that may come with that as well?
Yeah, I think that's an outstanding question and point, Robin. It's certainly something that's on my mind as a co-chair of the Large Employers and Anchor Institutions Committee. You know, I think everybody who is trying to do tremendous good in their organizations are constantly faced with, you know, sort of securing resources and securing their futures and being able to demonstrate impact. And so the framework for, you know, driving, you know, as Ishmael called it, collective action or collective work is, you know, there are some really, you know, important balances to be achieved so that institutions can ensure that they're both meeting their missions and their contributions to their communities, but also sort of driving an overall greater level of interest in the work, greater level of funding for the work and everything else. And, you know, I think that the more and more we're thinking about, you know, specific returns on investments, or, you know, what did we get out of this project or as an organization versus somebody else, and a fragmented approach in that way, I think, you know, I think it's going to be hard to really achieve that collective and collaborative work. That being said, we have to deal in reality here that that everybody has to, you know, Robin, you want to see, you know, outstanding outcomes for patients and your community out of everything you do. And we've got to figure out ways to make sure that that is honored and the structure promotes that. I want to turn back to, you know, a little bit of the tee up of the anchor institution structure and strategy. You know, I'm not an expert at all. I'm just a finance guy who, you know, pushes numbers and money around here. But, you know, I've been doing it for a little while. And so I, you know, some of the things I've learned over the years, especially in public finance, which has always sought to, you know, build the framework and the tools and components that really advance society and societal goals, whether it is, as you know, the litany that Ishmael described, education, healthcare, you know, roads, bridges, you know, everything that really goes into to making a society function and function well, frankly. I think, you know, we can take some examples from the corporate sector. You know, we and you know, these aren't the most inspiring reasons of why companies have made investments, but the reality is that they've made investments that have beneficially helped their communities. So when you know, the you know, some number of the tech giants, the so-called FANG you know, companies, when it became clear that they were having a disproportionate, you know, impact and degree of externalities on the communities where they were located in driving unaffordability, driving, you know, involuntary displacement, you know, cost increases and other things that destabilized the communities where they were, you know, starting to do business, that their response was, oh, let's look at our massive fortress balance sheets. And we have this bucket called, you know, maybe there's a bucket for fixed income and maybe there's of our investments. Maybe there's a bucket for alternative investments. And let's think about a small sliver of those a little differently. And instead of investing in, you know, sort of whatever, you know, XYZ bank pitches us, let's allocate some of that to investments in affordable housing. And let's be part of the solution. Let's be part of, you know, let's think of ourselves a little bit more, maybe like we have to capture and offset some of those externalities. Now, they're not doing those, making those investments for no return. I mean, there is a return. They have a fiduciary duty to, you know, achieve returns with the assets that stockholders have invested in them. But I think it's instructive and you know, maybe provides a little bit of a sort of a kernel of an idea that we might think about and how we analyze, you know, the balance sheets of our anchor institutions.
Well, a question that comes to mind as you say that, though, is, you know, when we think about corporations and how they approach investing, and there's clearly a drive towards shareholder returns, and there's a very clear benchmark on that. You know, the question here is we're talking about issues like homelessness, unemployment or underemployment, education that may not position somebody for the kind of future that they want, or issues around substance abuse or violence. And, you know, what is the right return on investment we ought to be looking at for that? And actually, there was a question that's come in around how does the entire continuum of housing really impact the long-term outcomes, you know, that we see for that. How should we be thinking about a return on investment of, you know, somebody who might be homeless or struggling mm-hmm. with substance abuse, especially when you're talking about organizations that, you know, like a Denver Health or their housing authority, where there's not a shareholder return that we're aiming for. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Can I take the first crack at that, Robin? Because, you know, as we were talking, I think that's a great question, and it is actually an important one for, you know, like Denver Health to start with, which is you could think about the moral imperative, you know, of being an anchor institution which is good. And we can talk about what some of those kind of community outcomes, community benefits be. But I think you should also, you know, collectively, certainly from a board, you know, leadership perspective, think about the business imperatives, right? Like, what are the business imperatives around being an anchor institution or leveraging, really leaning into that role? And, you know, and there are things like, you've obviously made a big investment in your campus and your facilities. So the extent that the surrounding community is healthy and vibrant, you're protecting your investment, protecting your assets value into the future. There's a lot of benefits around employee retention and recruitment. If you're known, you know, in the community as a strong partner, your employees will be more engaged, be more productive because that they're a part of that solution and contributing. But then they're also, you know, particularly as a hospital, a health outcome investing. And you talked about housing, and I think, you know, housing has often been seen as the most important prescription for somebody is to move them into stable housing if you want to have any chance of impacting their health outcomes, right? You know, that housing first model, whether it's people who've been chronically homeless and living on the street that need to move into, you know, stable housing in order for any interventions to work. But also, you know, we know a lot of chronic conditions, whether it's obesity, whether it's, you know, high blood pressure, high anxiety, also what contributes to that can often be housing instability and insecurity. So investing in housing, partnering in housing, it is a way to really invest in people's health outcomes and fully. And, you know, the accountants might have a little bit of a challenge of making that connection, you know, in terms of the return, because it is, you know, you're sort of making an outside investment. You got the internal return in terms of the health costs of your clients, you know, and hospital overall may take a little longer time horizon to realize. But I think it's real and it's there. That return on it, just have to be willing to out a little bit. Penny was saying, think about that return a little alternatively in terms of time horizon and how it's actually measured.
Exactly. I think that's, if I could jump in, Ismail is an outstanding thinker on issues like this. And frankly, a big part, we have so much to thank him for getting Denver Housing Authority to where it is in this tremendous position for success and to have outsized impact. I would add just another financial concept that folks can kind of look into at their leisure as we think about how we measure return, and that's called risk-adjusted return. I think as we, for example, at Denver Housing Authority, and I'm glad you mentioned Bruce Alexander's on, Bruce. Great to see you here, know that you're here. You know, one of the things that strikes me about you can't make absolutes, but the vast majority of what Denver Housing Authority has done over the many years is, we haven't lost money on, serving the greatest need people in Denver. I think we have built, it's not to say we've made a bunch of money, but when you adjust the return for the risk that is imparted, these are no-brainer investments. And I think that's part of probably what drove some of those tech companies to look at this differently is, a lot of these, it's certainly there are people who can make an investment and lose money every time. But there are, I'm just pointing out a track record for, when we invest in communities that deeply care about their communities, when they're empowered to care about their communities, that almost helps to support the success of the investment itself. It's just part of, a fundamental financial concept, adjusting that return for risk.
I agree, although let me push back just a little bit. And Jim, I'd really be interested in your perspective on this. You know, the example of some of the large tech companies on the West Coast in particular that have looked around and seen that they need to invest in affordable housing because their success is actually creating employment problems for them because their own employees can't afford. You know, when we think about And it feels as if when there are conversations about economic development, and certainly Denver, like every other community in this country, is going to be facing some pretty significant economic challenges over the next several years. When we think about it, there tends to be a big focus on either kind of large successful organizations that come together to deal with things like affordable workforce housing and how we get businesses back to work and those kinds of things, or there are conversations about how do we help the people at the very bottom strata of our society, homeless, et cetera. And it doesn't feel like those two pieces come together. And I guess from my perspective, and I think Jim can weigh in on this, what we're talking about is how do we bring those efforts together and make them not be two separate pieces of work where we're either aiming at, you know, a clientele that Denver Health serves, or we're aiming at, you know, the millennials who want to live in downtown Denver. And I guess in my head, the Anchor Institution begins to be a bridge between those two, but it requires a huge investment and commitment on the part of the organization, which is where the board really comes in to play on this. Jim, your thoughts about just how we can be more of a bridge between those two populations?
Well, I mean, that is a tension, right? That's a tension, and I think boards, not only for Denver Health, but for our other partner organizations, we've got to understand that risk and our willingness to understand that those might be two different things on one side, but we have to get ourselves more comfortable that there are, and it sort of goes back to the ROI question in my mind, that we can't just have an expectation that we're going to have very immediate financial returns. We have to be able to understand, accept that there are two different dynamics here. Some of them have a little bit longer game, a longer end game to see these improvements in quality of life, and whether it's housing or it's an education type of investment, which is going to have a little bit longer runway to it. I think that's a big part of where the boards have to get more knowledgeable and be willing to understand there's a little bit longer game. We can't. I know we need to look at all these things with an urgency, especially when we're talking about real people's lives. There's immediate needs, but we can't be overly consumed at the board level, in my mind, by only demanding of ourselves these most immediate, short term. Somebody's acceptable ROI, we have to also look at longer-term outcomes and invest for those and be willing to see those through. And I think that's also where partners and the broader community working together so we can all sort of, in a sense, have each other's back, that we all understand there are short-term urgent needs, but there's also a longer-term game that we need to help each other, protect each other, and develop those longer-term strategic benefits for our citizens. It is a tension, though.
It is. Well, you know, and I think one of the questions that I have, and I'd really be interested in hearing the perspective of all three of you, is, you know, the issues that an Anchor Institution tackles in terms of the social and economic challenges that exist have been with us for a long time. And I don't know that we're holding out that we can eliminate those. But I guess the question that I have is, when you think about these kinds of issues, why do you think that the Anchor framework can be more successful in helping us to deal with those issues than we have been up to this point, and why or why not?
Mm-hmm.
So, Ishmael?
Sure. You know, a couple of thoughts on that, Robin, and it goes back to the two things I said at the beginning, right? Everything you do can and should be catalytic. And nothing you do should be single purpose, right? I'll say. So if you just hold those two concepts in mind for a bit, Anchor Institutions, right, what we bring, and when I say we, you know, the Housing Authority, Denver Health and Hospital, others, a university, mm-hmm. We have a huge balance sheet. You have a huge balance. That creates a lot of financial capacity that can be leveraged. Two, you have a huge operating budget, right? Which obviously, you know, is directed to healthcare and health outcomes as it should be. But, you know, if you think about how those two can be catalytic and not single purpose, right? Just your operating budget, as you know, you're going to spend a lot of money this year, a lot of payroll, a lot of purchasing, who you hire, right? Who you create those job opportunities for is where it can be dual purpose, you know, triple purpose, right, in terms of partnering there with workforce development organizations, local, you know, resident hiring opportunities. That can be very, again, multi-purpose, catalytic hiring. Every person you hire can have multiple benefits. Likewise, as you know, when you're purchasing, and I know you already have that, how you spend your money, giving opportunities to smaller vendors, smaller contracts, breaking up big contracts into smaller contracts so that small businesses, minority women-owned businesses, get that first opportunity is a great way to incubate local business opportunities rather than money being extracted out to larger corporations that may not be based here. You know, it can be circulated and have the ripple of economic effect of being, you know, you spending money in the community that creates more jobs in the community. You know, and I think you could ultimately, all of those, the evidence-based research that would show lead to health, better health outcomes and improved quality of life for the people that you are serving in the city of Denver.
I agree. I mean, I guess the thing that I continue to challenge my own team with is how much of that is tied up with making, I'll use the word, moral decisions. I think that was brought up, versus how much of that does the anchor institution framework help us to advance more differently? And I will give one concrete example that has helped me sort of reconcile this. And I had, obviously, we're a large employer. We have 7,800 employees. We hire people constantly. Before COVID, so COVID threw a lot of things up in the air, but before COVID, we had made a commitment working with a local organization, workforce development organization here in Denver, to hire employees directly through them. And their target population are people who have some real difficulties in getting jobs. So people who have been homeless, people who are recovering from substance abuse, people who have been in the criminal justice system, and people who have real challenges and problems in their lives. And we committed to hiring through this organization. And over the course of a period of time, we hired about, I think we've hired 12 people. We've got more in the pipeline. And the impact, because I believe we have to be able to measure the return on investment and be able to demonstrate outcomes, because if we can't demonstrate an outcome, we ought not do it. For those individuals, before they came to work for Denver Health, they had an average monthly income of about $690. So imagine, with all the challenges of living in Denver, having an average income of $690. After they came to work for Denver Health, their monthly income is $2,900. That is a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something we could have done on our own. We could determine that we would hire people who had challenges in their lives like this, but the programs that this organization developed and put around those individuals and the support that they offered post-employment is, in my head, what has made it successful. And only one of the hires through that program has left us, and there were some very specific reasons for that. In my head, what I'm saying is I've got patients, I've got employees who can't afford to live in Denver. I can't solve those housing problems as Denver Health. But I know that if I work with the Denver Housing Authority, we can move things forward, and 1 + 1 = 3. And so in my head, the anchor institution framework, if we have enough people who are part of it, adds value that is impossible to get on our own. But again, the question is, how do we change the conversation in the city more broadly so that we're focusing on how we bring all of those things together in a meaningful, strategic, and impactful way? And I don't think we're there yet. And part of the question that I have is, how do we get to the point where we're not dividing people and populations up and different groups are going after them? How do we all come together around everybody? And I know, Trini, you've been so involved.
Yeah. You know how to ask the hard questions, Robin. So you gotta be willing to accept a hard question as well. But you know, I think at the risk of being maybe overly blunt, I think there are going to be some, I think, well, let me start with what I think the answer is. I think the answer is You need to start doing things and showing outcomes and impact. I think the strategy is for another day. You've just got to start doing. And because that will tell a story that will get the progress, you know, and momentum going. Because there, I think this is where the maybe the more challenging part is. There are going to be interests that are absolutely against this idea. I mean, we're all sitting around saying, yeah, great idea, let's go do it, you know, blah, blah. But there, this is, you know, in addition to thinking about your patients and community and neighbors, you know, there are conceivably some contractors who are going to lose contracts, and there are going to be, you know, from the past, you know, your historical vendors or suppliers or whatever. And that's, you know, those are really, you know, those are powerful interests. And I think you got to, you know, so does that mean that that should stop progress? No, absolutely not. But, you know, you're going to need to show some benefits and outcomes, I think, to really start to move the community and say, yeah, this A does work. B, it does create and produce great things. And, you know, that's what we want. So let's support Denver Health and Denver Housing and, you know, every other anchor institution, because this is exactly what we want to see.
So, Jim, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, because, you know, it embedded in Trini's answer, I think, was one of the things that we've talked about a little bit, which is the need for intentionality of purpose. And if this is what we're going to do, it means choosing, you know, A and not B. It may mean choosing one vendor instead of another, or frankly, putting money into hiring programs that bring disadvantaged people in. And the question is, you know, from a board perspective, Can you help share some of the thinking of why this is a challenge worth taking on? Because I agree with Trini. I think there'll be folks who would be, you know, conceptually it's a great idea, but when it starts to impact, you know, them, it may not be quite as palatable. Jim, your reaction to kind of what Trini said?
Well, I totally agree with them. There will be challenges to that. At the end of the day, we have to be able to, I think Denver Health can demonstrate to people that we're doing this because it serves our mission. It serves our mission narrowly, right? Narrowly, that we can provide better health care. We can provide better health care to more people. We can provide it at a lower net cost with short stays. But we can also show through our partners in this effort, we can show that there are other factors in people's lives that are improving, whether it's their home ownership or their home, their residence or their education level. It'll ultimately serve our mission. And, you know, I think from the board perspective, that's ultimately why we want to do this, right? But it's not a narrow return on our investment just for our mission on just a specific health or financial result or outcome. It serves our mission in the broadest sense, and we have to be able to show that to people. And I think we can. We can show that it's not only our health outcomes, our ability to provide the health care at a certain cost or expenditure level, but other factors in people's lives across the city, those quality of life factors are going up. And we can show that, and these examples will continue to show that.
Let me add one thing, if I could, and just to maybe – temper a little bit my comment. I mean, there's a whole bunch of steps that can be taken to bring along your historic vendors and everybody else. You know, you can educate them what you're trying to do and how they can play a role. It's not just about, okay, we're going to, you know, have to, you know, put the gloves on here. It's about, you know, working with the people who have been invested in you, who have worked to cultivate and support you over the years, and say, look, this is where we're going, and, you know, we want you to come with us and show ways they can.
Trini, I think that's really, really good point there. You know, I think our vendors, in this case, our big vendors, if they also believe in our mission, they'll be willing, and we can encourage them. We can encourage them to be part of that solution, right? So, you know, I think of like even relationships or even CPA, big CPA relationships, we can encourage those bigger entities to help work with maybe some small minority-owned businesses to give them parts of the business and help all our community members expand their experience and their opportunities and their employees so they can be part of that solution. And I think they'll want to be. You know, we've seen entities like Denver Housing Authority that has done that where they have effectively made it part of the requirements that a bigger vendor really needs to include a smaller member, a smaller minority-owned, women-owned business, give them those opportunities to expand their knowledge and their expertise and build their resumes as well. So it can be a win-win. You're right. It can be a win-win. It's not a one or the other.
So here's a question, and I'm not sure if you have an answer, but one of the things that I'm interested in understanding from a perspective of community members is, you know, if we fast forward to 5 years from now, how should the community judge Denver Health in its success as an anchor mission in looking at, was it worth putting the time and effort and energy in? Because we've talked about the importance of partnerships. This is not something that we're doing on our own. You know, we've got some organizations in our community who have the same mission effectively in different areas, housing, for example. But we're going to be asking for help from not just those organizations, but from the business community, from philanthropists, from others. You know, as you think about what we're trying to achieve, how should Denver Health be judged, you know, successful or not 5 years from now?
Well, you know, I would offer, Robin, that if at the end of the day, Denver Health and Hospitals has a mission, right? And I'm sure a very visionary mission statement. And that really is, you know, should be the ultimate measure. And I'm sure that, you know, in 5 years, you would be looking at how has Denver Health and Hospitals made the city of Denver a healthier place for all? And, you know, and I think if the outcomes that you pointed to were that through your investments, through land sales, through joint ventures, you help create more affordable housing. You help employ more low-income residents of Denver. You help more kids do better in school because they have, you know, a healthy home and a health provider that's keeping them healthy and make sure they don't develop chronic conditions that are typical in communities of color and long-term communities. Those are all direct health outcomes that, you know, as an anchor institution, you know, you could point to, say, yep, you know, we've made the city of Denver a healthier place for all. Just one last thing I would add to that is because I think it does get to even the earlier question. I think that's where the board, right, you know, the board of directors and the leadership of the organization really come in, because those are that focus on the mission and the moral imperatives, you know, is really not just fiduciary responsibilities, is where, you know, the leadership really makes a difference in giving the staff the permission and the coverage to make tough decisions and decisions that may not sit well with the usual suspects, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky in our board.
Yeah, you are. Jim is, you are lucky to have Jim where he is. And we're certainly adding to his workload here, but we know he's up to the task. You know, truly one of our city's great leaders. I want to say that it's always hard to follow Ishmael. So, you know, maybe that's the board privilege, Jim, that you don't have to follow him. I'm going to take a little bit more of a black and white approach, not black and white. I'm going to take a black and white approach, and it's not for hyperbole, because I think there are really good reasons for this. I don't think there's another option. I don't think you can't be an anchor institution. I mean, I think, Robin, your leadership, it's not to make light of your incredible leadership and really thinking about this and working on it and getting this ball rolling, because it's massive. But why haven't we always thought of our institutions this way? Right now in corporate America, there's a live conversation happening about stakeholder capitalism. And, you know, so as a comparison, something that is only funded by the community and driven by the community, both by way of mandate, political will, financial investment, and everything else, tax resources, even though you guys don't get a lot of tax resources, I know that well, having looked at your financial statements over the years, you are of and for the community. And why shouldn't everything that you do plow back into the community? If corporate America it's dawning on them that they have to sort of, you know, consider other stakeholders outside of just shareholders, why wouldn't you always be thinking in that model and in that way? And so I think the answer is, how do you measure, you know, less about how you measure it. It's more about, I think, a little bit, you know, it's got to be, and it's got to be part of the success. You know, you've got to be able to produce success in this. It's just, you know, there isn't an option to not be successful.
Well, and I think one of the things I started out with was, you know, Denver Health has been involved, and not only Denver Health, I mean, the Denver Housing Authority, there are organizations throughout the community who have been deeply involved in some of these issues for a long time. The question becomes, is the anchor framework a way to strategically and thoughtfully organize the work so that rather than having lots of different folks doing things that may have some positive impact, that we bring all of that intellectual capital and those resources together and work together in a way that's different? And one of the questions, Trini, I think is, and maybe this is just by, you know, we show what can be achieved and then co-opt more people in, you know, what's good for the group of people that we're working on, who, you know, working to serve mostly low income people who live in poverty, people of color. What's good for that group of people is good for the rest of the city of Denver as well. And so having, you know, bringing in the other corporate entities that really are starting to wake up to the need for a broader definition of stakeholder, I think is important. Okay. I know we're getting close. We're getting close to time, and I'm trying to monitor the chat, the questions. What the question from Eric about the output and outcome metrics, you know, and that really is something we're spending a lot of time on. I am a very big believer in data, in measuring the impact of the dollars that you spend, especially at an institution like Denver Health. You know, we mostly take care of people who are un and underinsured. Our goal is not to have a huge operating margin. That's not what we exist for. But we have to have a positive operating margin to do the things we need to do. So every time we invest a dollar, we have to make sure that we're investing it in the things that can do the most good for the most number of people. And the anchor institution framework would suggest that sometimes those are not going to be things that are as directly tied to our core mission of healthcare services as maybe they have been in the past. And so making sure that we know we spend a dollar, what do we expect to happen, and have we achieved that is going to be very important. Jim, as I mentioned, is heading up the new community engagement committee of the board, and we're bringing in a number of community organizations. We've invited them to join to help us understand how does the community view the issues and the challenges, and what does the community want to see as the measures of success. So we'll be bringing people in, and from my perspective, we'll make the measures public. Anybody who wants to see what we're trying to do is welcome to see it. And then we also had a question about childcare. What is the role of an anchor institution in ensuring access to childcare for employees and residents? You know, I think the answer to that is complicated. We have looked at potentially having a childcare center here on our campus and have not, we simply don't have the space for it now. I think the issue is if we can find a way to have childcare be accessible, we are certainly committed to that, and we've got some ideas. I think the other piece of this work, and it ties into the anchor institution, but it is critically important, is the entire concept of living wage. What does it mean to make sure that people have an opportunity for a living wage? And that applies to our own employees. What it takes to live in the city of Denver is not necessarily just minimum wage. And so part of what we're working on and we're rolling out beginning this year is a commitment to living wage opportunity for our own employees. And that may include combinations of the salary people get paid, the benefits that are available to them, the programs that they can tap into, and frankly, even opportunities around lower cost healthcare. So I do think there's some role. I don't know that I would say that it necessarily is the most significant responsibility we have, but it's certainly something that's there. So I want to make sure that if there are any other questions, we can get to them, but also to give our panelists a chance for any last thoughts that you might have, anything you'd like to share, advice on, we're charging forward one way or another, but any advice over potholes that are in front of us that we should avoid or suggestions for how to make the work more effective? So Trini, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll hold back, Trini, so you can go.
Are you muted?
Oh, he may have muted himself. You can't unmute yourself in WebEx.
No, I think Rachel.
Yeah, it's a habit. Just because our newly adopted puppy starts barking. Thanks, Ismail, for not making me follow you. I don't have more. I mean, I that just having these conversations, Robin, creating the forum, I think that's the huge first step. I think, being prepared to tackle the tougher parts of the discussion. I think the idea of collaboration and bringing groups together, you guys can reinforce and support each other in addition to sharing ideas and everything else and collaborating on actual projects. I think, there's so much good that will come of this, and I'm excited about it. I don't think I have anything else I would add at this point other than Godspeed.
Thank you. Ishmael, I'll let Jim have the last word as our
All right. I'll just keep this brief, but I think a lot of the success we had at Denver Housing Authority and, is a lot of strong public-private partnerships. You hear that a lot, P3s. Oftentimes on that equation, the public is not the strong partner. And I think so having strong public partners like a Denver Health, and hospitals really makes a difference. And I think you guys are leading by example already, but, being that public partner with private or nonprofit partners, even like in addressing the childcare question, you don't need to learn the childcare business. You just need to find the right partner who understands it to bring in and figure out a solution to it. So I think being that strong public partner will continue to make Denver Health really a leader in making the city of Denver a great.
Great, thank you. And Jim, your last words?
Yeah, no, thanks. And thanks, Ishmael and Trini as well. I'll just offer this from my board perspective in that, I think, especially as the chair of this new community engagement committee, it really ties into these last couple questions about finding the right metrics or the right measurable or the right data to track and measure whether or not being successful. I'm going to just ask you all on the call to keep us accountable, and in particular by throwing out your ideas on what we should measure and what we should measure. What are all the different intersections that we may not be aware of? I think it's really important and I stress this to Robin and the rest of my board colleagues that unlike many of our other committees that typically exist in an organization, I think it's critically important that this community engagement committee be very public and very, very out there and seeking to listen and putting in place processes where we can hear from not only the other 12 members of the community engagement committee that represent various different aspects of community and the public, as Ishmael said, But we need to make it so much more public that folks like all of you on this call can have easy access to reach out to us and tell us if we're missing the boat on something or we're not understanding an intersection, or if you have an idea as to how we can better partner with others and how we can better measure those outputs and those different ways of looking at ROI. So I'm going to ask you to stay on us and give us your input or you know, reach out to any of us on the board, reach out to any of the other members of the community engagement committee, and myself and Robin as well. And that, I think with your input, your ideas, you can help us be more successful more quickly.
Yeah. So I'll just end with thank you. Thank you, you know, Trini and Jim and Ishmael for participating. As always, I always learn something when I hear any of you speak, and I really appreciate it. You know, I think we're at the beginning of a journey, and one of the things that I really, and I'll echo what Jim said, we've got ideas about what needs to get done. We hear from our patients and our community all of the time. We have set our true north as changing the world by transforming the health of our community, and we mean that. But I also think it's really important for the community to know that we want to be held accountable. We're certainly not perfect, but we want to know that what we're doing is what our community needs us to do. So in that spirit, I would encourage all of you, if you've got ideas or suggestions or criticisms, please step forward and tell us. You know, many of you who are on the call have my cell phone number, which is 516-492-9663. So you can text or call me at any time or send an email. We're always happy to hear from the people that live, work, and play in the city of Denver, because that's what we're here to do. We are caretakers of the organization for a moment in time. But this organization was here long before any of us, and will be here long after we're all gone. And I think that what's important is we've got a goal, and the goal really is to address the social and economic challenges that our city faces. And I think we need to be humble enough to know that we need help. So we are not going to be shy about reaching out and asking for that help either. So thank you again so much. And we will be having regular, you know, I think the Springboard series is every other month, and it really is intended to dive into specific aspects of what it means to be an anchor institution, how we can really address the needs and challenges of our community and get the perspective of different folks in the community on that. So look forward to continued engagement with everybody and to have an opportunity to hear your thoughts and suggestions. So thank you so much. And again, thank you, Trini, Ishmael, and Jim, so much. Mm-hmm. For that.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good to see you.
Bye-bye.